by the power of the Holy Spirit working through word and sacrament. Then we hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God. My friends, it's just that simple.
It's in the divine service that he's there for you, that he delivers the forgiveness. That's where he promises forgiveness will be. That's why it's so important to be in church.
We long that God would answer the prayer when we pray, deliver us from evil. Get me out of here. Get me out of this sin-filled world.
And that is Jesus Christ, who says, do not count their sin against them, for my blood has paid the price for that.
Now on 95.7 FM, it's Proclaiming the One with Pastor Clint Poppy and Pastor Adam Olean from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Welcome once again to Proclaiming the One. Pastor Clint Poppy, Pastor Adam Olean, Vicar Albert Bader. We're pleased to serve at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. Each week we take a look at the upcoming readings. We analyze them with a focus on Christ. We proclaim the one Savior from sin, Jesus, God-man, for you, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world, to take away your sin. Today, we are right smack dab in the middle of our pre-Lent season, the Gesima or the Gesima Sundays. And last week, we took a look at Septuagesima, which was roughly 70 days before Easter. Today, we're looking at Sexagesima, or Sexagesima, depending on which pronunciation of your Latin terms you want to look at. And so we are roughly 60 days. We're getting closer and closer to Ash Wednesday. And these Gesima Sundays have kind of a loose connection. Last week, the loose connection was kind of a grace alone, and that ties in very well with our Lutheran Reformation understanding of we are saved by grace through faith on account of the person and work of Jesus Christ alone, as revealed to us in the Bible alone, to God alone be the glory. The solas of the Reformation. The first of the Gesima Sundays is pretty much a grace alone Sunday. The last one of our Gesima Sundays, Quinquagesima, we'll look at that next week. That's very much a faith alone. And today on Sexagesima, you can put in, I suppose, if you want to look at these these alone kind of statements, it is Scripture alone or the Word alone. You can keep that in the back of your mind. That may be helpful. That may just be a distraction. So if it is, flush it down wherever you flush. Sexagesima, the introit are selected verses from Psalm 44. Psalm 44. Vicar, take it away.
Awake. Why are you sleeping, O Lord? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Rise up. Come to our help. O God, we have heard with our ears, our fathers have told us, what deeds you performed in their days, in the days of old. You with your own hand drove out the nations, but them you planted. You afflicted the peoples, but them you set free. But you have saved us from our foes and have put to shame those who hate us. In God we have boasted continually, and we will give thanks to your name forever.
Okay, we have several very distinctive and different kind of themes that are jumping out at us. Right off the bat, we have awake. Why are you sleeping, O Lord? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us. Now, in our Advent season and the last few weeks of our church year, we had a lot of this wake up kind of talk. But it was reverse. God is preaching to the sinner to wake up from our sleep. Here, it seems that things are backwards. Pastor, what's going on here?
Well, I think it's a perception. It reminds me of the scripture lesson we had about a month ago where Jesus was sleeping on the boat while the storm was raging, and the disciples wake him up and say, "Why are you sleeping? Don't you know we're perishing?" And it's a misconception that even Jesus sleeping on the boat doesn't know what's going on or can't provide and care for people. God never really is sleeping. It's our perception of what's going on, that he's not working the way we want him to. He's not doing what we want. He's not fixing things exactly as we want, and so it seems like maybe he's not paying attention or he's sleeping, and that's not the case. And so this prayer is more a prayer of, Lord, pay attention. Seems like you're not. Don't reject us. Don't ignore us, but instead listen to our pleas and our cries and help us out here.
Vicar, when would be some times in the life of a Christian when it would seem that God doesn't notice, doesn't care, or is sleeping when things are going on in my world that I want him to pay attention to?
Yeah, well, it could be a plethora of different things, but normally we might think this way when we're just down in our lowest. We're having troubles within our own family, or we have loved ones that are sick and at the point of death, and we seem to continually be sending prayers to God, "Lord, please help deliver us from this time of tribulation," and it seems like our prayers aren't being answered or aren't being heard, and so we might ask him to rouse himself, "Stop sleeping, Lord, and help." And at all times, we as Christians should know that our Lord does indeed hear our pleas, and he's always close to us. He's never far away. Just sometimes the way that he answers our prayers might not be the way that we want him to answer them.
I think it reflects what's in our small catechism in the Lord's Prayer. Fourth petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." God certainly gives daily bread to everyone, even without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. I think therein lies part of the challenge, us realizing what he's doing.
Yep. Yes, and God does not sleep the way we think of sleep, where you're dead to the world. God does not do that. But there are times when, as Vicar pointed out, our soul is bowed down to the dust. We are talking about the deepest depths of despair. We are talking about suffering, and suffering beyond imagination. Maybe suffering that has driven us to the point where we just don't want to suffer anymore. And we cry out to God. I've heard people say on numerous occasions, "I've tried everything else, so I guess now I'll have to pray." And that's not all bad. When God teaches us that our human efforts, our human attempts to fix our problems or take away our suffering, always fall short. And now the next line is especially important, as we talked about our theme before. "O God, we have heard with our ears. Our fathers have told us." What are we talking about here? What have they heard with their ears, and what have their fathers told them?
The introit goes on and says it's the deeds that God performed back in their days. In other ways, our fathers have told us how you took care of them in the past, how you led them out of Egypt in slavery, how you took them through the Red Sea, how you fed them in the wilderness, how you made water flow from the rock. Even later on, you could say, how you preserved the nation of Israel through the judges of Ehud or Othniel or Gideon and all these things, how you have preserved David and brought him to the throne. All sorts of ways, you could say, even after the exile, how you preserved us even in exile and brought us back to Jerusalem and allowed us to rebuild the wall. They see God caring for them all the time, and the fathers pass that on to the children, and the children, as they see that same thing take place in their life, are able to pass it on to their kids.
The fathers passed it on to their children. Are we talking oral tradition? Are we talking myths and fables? How does that tie in with our theme today, which we're going to get when we get to the gospel reading, with regard to the Bible or to the Word of God. Help me connect those dots.
All those things that I mentioned there a minute ago are things that are recorded for us in the Scripture. And that's the main source of where God's care and compassion is shown. As Jesus himself says, all the Scriptures testify about him and find their fulfillment in him. And that's the main way God takes care of us and provides for us. And the Scriptures record that for us. And so what's a father's job today? I think this is where you're going, right? A father's
Correct.
Job today is to teach his kids the Scriptures so that the children understand who Christ is, who God is. And once you understand who God is and how he cares for you, you can see that in your own life, as we just heard from the Catechism, providing all these things, giving us salvation in Jesus, et cetera, et cetera.
You know, it's amazing to me how parents in general, but especially fathers, want to pass on certain traditions to their kids. You know, Pastor Moline, I know your dad, I know your mom, and they wanted to pass on to you a work ethic. They did not want you to be given everything. I still remember walking into Super Saver one day and seeing this pimply little high school boy working at the meat counter. And I was a little surprised. But your parents wanted to pass that tradition on. You had chores at the house. You had expectations with regard to your homework and those kind of things. That was important. Vicar, I know that you were expected early on to be an active, vital part of a working farm, maybe even driving vehicles and machinery before you had a license and all that kind of stuff. These traditions are important. These traditions are meant to be passed on. And yet, how many times these traditions stop with work and sports and family and fun, these traditions never go where God really wants them to go, and that is the Word of God. That is our history that we have as a shared history, being sinners redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And my encouragement today for all those who are listening is don't give up your traditions. Those traditions are great. But do not let these traditions trump God's house, God's word. You have put to shame those who hate us. In God we have boasted continually, and we will give thanks to your name forever. The reason we can give thanks to God's name forever is because God's name lasts forever. Our favorite sports team, favorite tractor or horse or whatever is really, really important in our life and in our family and our traditions, these things are wonderful and they bring us great enjoyment, but they don't last. There's only one thing that truly lasts, and that is Christ and his kingdom. And he has brought us into this kingdom through his word. In this word, we are able to recount all of the mighty deeds of the Lord. And that's exactly what is happening in this particular introit. So the word. Think about that as a potential new tradition for your family. And while you're thinking about that word, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a little bit. This is Proclaiming the One.